Yeah, away we go on the Monday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio and Will Summers will join us in a moment. It's a big one today. December 1st, 2025, as we get ready for Packers-Bears week coming up Sunday at Lambeau Field. First of two matchups in 13 days for these two teams. As effectively, the NFC North is on the line. It's pretty sweet. Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. We will talk a little bit about that at some point. And the Bears beat the Eagles on Friday to advance to 9-3. The Bears currently the number one seed in the NFC after their win Friday over the Philadelphia Eagles. And I want to start today with something I never thought I'd do on December 1st. I want to thank the Chicago Bears. I want to thank the city of Chicago. Because we're playing meaningless football for years and years and years and years in December against the Chicago Bears. They have nothing to play for ever, it seems, in the past decade and a half of this rivalry. And we're coming up on a super meaningful Week 14 game at Lambeau Field where the winner will be in first place of the NFC North. So I'd like to say thank you to Chicago. Thank you to the Bears. Thank you for reigniting this rivalry that is stunk, all things considered. It's been completely one-sided since 1992. So to have a team that feels as if they can compete at the top of the NFC, and sure thing, through 12 games at 9-3, they are competing at the top of the NFC. It's cool. This is what rivalries are supposed to feel like. This is what Packers-Bears should feel like going into Packers-Bears on Sunday. But it hasn't for 33 years, for the most part, outside of what? An NFC Championship game in 2010, which, by the way, the Packers won. So thank you to the Chicago Bears for finally holding up their end of the bargain and allowing the Packers and Bears rivalry to be meaningful in the month of December. That's exciting. So that's what I'll say off the top. Thank you to Chicago. It's going to be a fun week. I'm very excited for the week ahead. It's fun that this game has a big game feel tied to it because seriously, other than the NFC Championship game in 2010, that's probably the last time where both teams had implications on the line in a December matchup between these two teams. So I got to be honest with you, I'm pretty fired up right now. Pretty fired up. Josh DiMaggio is here. Will Summers is here. We will get to Will, the Bears fan, in a moment. But first I say hello, Josh. Packers Bears week. Let's go.
I'm excited.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. There are two ways this could go. It could either be a great week. We'd all say we told you so. Of course they were frauds. Of course they're not real. Or Will's going to have the best Will's week on Monday that he's ever had. He's going to gloat. He's going to alley-oop to himself. He's going to go between the legs, and he's going to dunk all over our skulls. It can go one of two ways. I expect Will to, throughout the week, get more and more continuously frustrated with us. I envision him. I don't know if we're going to get a storm out this week. We might get a storm out next week if it goes our way.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Which is good. It's all in good fun. I mean, I said it at the top. This has always been called like one of the greatest rivalries in sports.
Mm-hmm.
But how good is a rivalry if of the last 17, well, one team has won 14 of them?
What makes it such a good rivalry
is the history, obviously.
Yes. And it always hasn't been what it's been for our lifetimes, so, everyone respective in this room.
For sure. And that's correct. But that said, though, Joshy, like the players in the locker room, the players that are playing in the game, I mean, I imagine there's probably a history lesson of sorts. And if you're a fan of football,
oh, for sure,
you understand the background and the rivalry and the history between these two teams. But, I mean, I've said it before, right? Like the Bears have never been good in Caleb Williams' life until this year, really, right? With few exceptions. The year they went to the Super Bowl, I think, was 06.
06.
And the year they went to the NFC Championship game in 2010 and lost to the Packers. It's the only two teams that have ever been like really good in Caleb Williams' life.
There's a very real scenario coming up here that the Packers and Bears could play three times in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Wild.
That's fun.
Imagine going 3-0.
Imagine it.
I mean, we're playing with house money. Like,
oh,
these games.
No.
Who do you think has more pressure on them?
You're at 9-3.
I've been saying house money the past couple weeks.
Yeah, but I don't think it's house money anymore, Will.
It definitely is house money.
There's got to be
say we're not winning, but there's still house money.
I don't think you know what house money means.
We're playing with no expectations.
Yeah, but I don't
house
think
money.
But again, I don't think that's true anymore for the Bears.
You can't make expectations in the middle of the year.
Sure you can.
Yeah. Mm. We did it with the Packers when Jordan Love.
Sure
first,
you can.
First year starter.
I think it's still house money.
When you're 9-3,
like
if the Bears
beat the Packers, it would hurt Packers fans significantly more than it would hurt Bears fans. Because the Packers' expectations are so much higher than the Bears. It's to make a Super Bowl. It's to make an NFC Championship game.
Well,
we just want to make the playoffs.
All you're kind of telling me is you don't believe the Bears' record is as real as I don't.
I don't think their team is as good as their record represents, but that doesn't mean that they haven't been playing great football.
You just said the same thing I said.
Well, it's Bears week. Give him a break.
Said it in a fancier way.
I imagine his heart rate's high.
I agree with what Josh said this morning where he said the Eagles are collapsing, and I feel like I saw it on Friday, and I was just thinking, like, how does this team have eight wins? Like, who have the Eagles beaten to get eight wins? And, like, nonetheless, on the road, like, who lost to them at home?
Yeah.
That's just what I was thinking.
Sure.
I haven't looked, so I don't know who, but.
Yeah, right. Of course you haven't.
Mm-hmm. The Bears kind of curb stomped them on the road.
I think there's more pressure on the Packers to answer your question.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Because there was higher expectations preseason, and there's probably still. I mean, if you look at every analytical firm that does this professionally, the Packers are the severe favorite to win the NFC North still.
They should be.
It's week 14, though. And I understand there's two matchups that the Packers will likely be favored in both. 5.5, 6-point favorites for Sunday.
They will be favored in both if you're a 6-point.
Depending on where you're looking. Right. But I imagine if the result doesn't go their way, that could change in 2 weeks.
I don't think it actually would. Because the data for the season is as long as it is.
Yeah,
I think it would probably shift and it would be closer to 1 or 2 points on the road for the Packers, but I still think they would be favored.
I am actually blown away that this is where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. You take a peek under the hood on the Bears and you start to see, well, that's some good fortunate results.
Yeah.
Those are things that typically don't continue to always go your way. We saw a Vikings team like this a few years ago when they lost in the first round to the Giants. And everyone was kind of looking at it going, yeah, this is nice and all, but we all sort of see what's coming here. And little did you know, Daniel Jones then went out and beat that Vikings team. I think the Bears are very much in that sort of area right now.
Yeah.
And they certainly have enough time to collapse, but they have also plenty enough time to win a couple more games and just be in the playoffs.
The Bears have won 9 of their last 10. They're only lost to Baltimore back on October 26th. That is December 1st. They've won 5 in a row. Now, granted, none of these wins are terribly impressive except Friday, right? Just to run through them quick. Dallas, Vegas, Washington,
Dallas?
New Orleans. What?
Dallas?
I don't think it was impressive in week 3.
No, it isn't. But I just want to hear.
Had they won,
I was just contesting.
Had they won it on Friday like they did the Eagles,
yeah.
I would change my tune on that. Okay, I know what you're doing now. I fell for it.
Yeah, you did.
Notice I stayed silent.
Dallas, Vegas, Washington, New Orleans, Cincinnati.
You can't
Giants.
Stay out of your own way.
No, I can't. Vikings, Steelers, Eagles.
It's checkers and chess.
And somehow you're playing both, and he's got jacks over there.
I think I'm playing like Uno.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm playing.
You're playing Go Fish.
You have a handful of jokers.
Now, when it comes to the Bears, I don't know that they're that good. I just don't. I watched the entirety of that game on Friday, and there was no moment where I went, wow. They run the football well, and they have run the football well. They're the second best rushing team in the league. But I'm not looking at their quarterback going, whoa, that's a generational talent right there, man. Whew. You know, the Bears really got their guy. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. The run game is good. The offensive line is better than years past. The defense is really beat up. But
Dennis Allen has done a tremendous job building them up with how many injuries they have.
But just looking at their last five wins, they allowed 42 to Cincinnati, 20 to New York, 17 when they only scored 19 to Minnesota, 28 to Pittsburgh, and then 15 to Philadelphia.
What do all those games have in common?
A W. I understand that. But they haven't played anybody that great. Eagles, who are imploding on a short week, I'll give it to you. It's an impressive win.
You can only beat who you play.
I agree with that, Will.
It's the advantage of being in last place.
I just don't think this is going to fly on Sunday against a Packers team who seemingly has turned the corner and started to figure it out offensively and has a good defense and seems like a just more complete team than a lot of others in the NFL right now. And we'll talk about the NFC playoff picture a little bit later in the show. Every team's got its flaws. There's no doubt about that. And the Packers certainly have theirs. But I think if we're simply playing a game of which of these two teams has more flaws going into Sunday at Lambeau Field, it is pretty clearly the Bears. So I think that's how you get to a 5.5-6 point spread, where the Packers are favored on Sunday, 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field. I truly am ecstatic, though, that this game means something. Because how long, seriously, have we gone where it's like, okay, yeah, Packers-Bears week 14. Whatever. And last year, obviously, the Bears made it a little bit interesting. Packers needed a blocked field goal attempt to win in Chicago, and they lost at Green Bay in a game that, again, like, did it really count? Malik Willis played half of it. I don't know, but a win's a win. So, Jonathan Bruss, the Rams must suck since they just lost to the Panthers by your stupid logic strophe. I just said every team's got their flaws. I think the Rams are good.
I like this new addition of Jonathan Bruss listening.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the Bears are good.
Yeah.
And notice how he only comes out to play when he has something to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's Chicago, though. Chicago fans, I don't know if any of you have been on social media in the last 72 hours, but Chicago fans are the little, I compared them earlier. I was on WTMJ with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry, and I compared Chicago to having a little brother. Like, they say things that are amusing, but usually not very true. And Chicago fans have this behavior and this attitude where, and maybe it is the truth for a lot of them that are like millennials and Gen Z, but they act like they've never won anything.
God forbid people have fun nowadays.
Being 9-3 is a...
I know the Wisconsin sports fans are so used to just not getting their hopes up, but God forbid people be happy that their team wins.
But it's not happy, Will. It's immediate trash talk.
It's glee.
I don't think it's glee either. I think it's a little bit of stupidity.
I was in the Chicagoland area on Friday night. It was happiness and glee, blissfully.
You had yourself a good time, huh?
It was very fun.
I'm glad. Glad you had fun. Glad you could experience glee.
But the game that really matters isn't the one that's this week. It's the one in 2 weeks because you're still punching up. You know that, right? In 2021 or 2025, you're still punching up.
2021, huh?
0-1. Sorry, got my ones. 0-1. Oh, sure. Packers are 0-1.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Chance to even the series here.
This is a give me game. We might just give it to you to make it interesting for the next week.
Make something to play for.
Yeah. Because, Stroph was just talking about how it's fun playing for stuff.
A result we might just Malik give Willis you one. In week 18. I hate that. I got to be honest. Not a lot of this bothers me. The stat of Caleb Williams being 1-0 at Lambeau Field does bother me.
You guys just being nervous right now is like all the satisfaction I need.
I'm not nervous.
I've shown no level of nervousness.
I'm not nervous. Have I? I like that there's stakes to this. I'm not nervous.
If I were you, and I don't want to tell Will what to do, but your approach to today seems like a guy trying to convince himself he's extra certain the Packers are going to win. That'd be the approach I take if I were a Bears fan.
That I believe the
you're over the top and starting with thank you, Chicago. shows that you have a little bit of, in the back of your mind, you're trying to push it out.
When you said, thank you, Chicago, I thought you were going to say, thank you for making us in control of our own destiny for the one seed.
Well, we always were.
Well, no, then now that they beat the Eagles, there's no, the Packers have the tiebreaker if they went out.
He didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't.
Wait, the Packers have the tiebreaker?
So now that the Eagles lost, they have one more loss than the Packers. So the Packers just need to win out, and they get the one seed because they beat the now number one seed twice.
Right.
Yes. Why are you saying right like you understood it the first time I said it?
But the Eagles were never going to win the rest of their games.
You didn't know that?
I mean,
they were in control of their own destiny.
But we can all admit, and we said this last week, in fact, they look like a team that's completely imploding. Now, will they likely still win the NFC East? Yes. But I don't view them as a... I mean, they're definitely not as good as they were a year ago, obviously. Super Bowl champs a year ago. I just don't... I don't know that I buy the Eagles at all.
We also do this every year with them.
And yeah, they, but and they usually make or win it's the earlier. Super Bowl.
Well, last two, year two it years was ago, opposite.
But yeah, last year it was early. They were fumbling. And it was like week four, week five. Everybody was calling for Nick Sirianni's head. And then they turned it around. But the year prior, it was similar to how it feels this year, where they started really hot. I think they were like, what, like 10-1 2 years ago?
I mean, this team has collapsed before. That's why they've had such high draft picks that are stars on their defense.
Right. Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
remember that from week one?
Yeah, he couldn't even do that because he couldn't catch Manunga or
you
Swift.
You know, I just realized we've had a lot of spitting incidents in the NFL this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Spitting's on their eyes. I don't know.
Stock up to spitting. Yeah.
You guys should do a spit bet.
Here's the thing.
That'd be disgusting.
Here's what's going to happen.
So gross.
Here's what's going to happen.
Especially Stroph's like Mountain Dew. Breath.
It'd be long and
spitting
stringy.
On me.
Sugar coursing through it.
A little bit of green. It's like tone to it.
And have to go get a rabies shot after.
Here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen this week on this program. The tone is relatively calm today. I would argue, right? I would say we're pretty calm today after holiday weekend. It's going to kick up throughout the week as we get closer to this game. It's going to be a little bit more disrespectful on Wednesday. And then by Friday, I think it's going to be full out disrespectful. And then Monday, I'm not even sure what to expect regardless of the result. And it's going to be a good ride for us. It's going to be a good strain in our relationship.
One thing about me is I do have a lot of hate in my heart.
I've noticed. Yeah.
And built up aggression.
That's you.
Just putting it out there.
Is that like a pre-threat?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's just like if I say something mean, I probably don't mean it that much.
When do you think we'll get to that area? Is that like a Friday thing, or is that after the game?
If the Bears lose.
Okay.
But I'll find a way to spin zone it, but they're not going to lose.
Yeah, they are. All right. I do want to discuss the Packers win on Thanksgiving just a little bit. Because we didn't all get together on Friday. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Josh, a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, sorry to hear that. Will, good Thanksgiving?
Fantastic.
Good. Why was it just fine, Joshy?
There's just a lot to do, a lot going on.
Okay.
Having the Thanksgiving weekend, coming in here on Friday for 11 hours, going home immediately to people in my house to host, and then getting smacked by a snowstorm.
Wait, what was Friday? You had Thanksgiving on Friday too?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Two different families.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a long weekend. My arms are sore. My legs are sore.
Oh yeah, you got a shovel. Huh?
Took a lot out of me. I have one of those electric snow shovels where it just you're supposed to hold the button and it throws
for
you.
Yeah.
Snow was too deep, too dense, too thick.
So you ended up having to do it all.
All of it by hand. Now mind you, I live on a corner lot, so that means in front of my house, the third to half of a block on the side of my house, the driveway, and the alley.
Mm.
2.5 hours.
Oh, boy. Oh, so you're just pissed off it snowed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that added on,
you know,
a piece.
That makes a lot of sense to the general crabbiness I've sensed from you today.
I don't think it's any.
It hasn't been directed at me too much. Few exceptions, but that's natural. You're sore and cranky and tired.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get enough rest on a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Things are adding up. Things are adding up. I took like a 4-hour nap yesterday. It was awesome.
I'd have killed for a nap.
It was awesome.
It's too busy doing labor.
And now I rent, brother. Well, you rent too, but
sure do.
You rent a house.
I rent a house, and there's three adults who live in the house. Do you want to guess how many helped with snow removal?
I'm going to guess it was just you.
Yeah, that's the one.
Three other adults besides you.
No, there's two other adults.
One is Mussolini.
Yep.
The other is the neighbor?
Yes, and it is in the lease that it is responsibility of all of us to do snow removal. So Mussolini gets a break. She was actually doing stuff inside. The upstairs just didn't make their appearance, didn't leave the house until about 4 p.m. when everything was already taken care of.
So that means next snowfall, it's their fault. Or it's their problem to deal
with. It should be. Do I think that will be the case?
I'm going to take that as a no.
Yes.
And we're going to go all the way back to Thanksgiving now. As the Packers defeat the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, Jordan Love was masterful again. This Toyota-thon thing is real, isn't it? I mean, seriously, dude.
It's getting more and more difficult to disprove it.
It's weird. I mean, he's always a good quarterback. I think we can all agree with that. But it seems like he flips a switch towards the end of the season, which is a good thing. It's where you want your quarterback to be playing his best football, by all means. But it is real. 18 of 30, 234 yards, 4 touchdown passes for Jordan Love. Was not sacked either in the win over Detroit, 31-24 to the final. Packers ran the ball and threw the ball the same amount of times, 30 each. Bunch of different receivers get into the mix. 2 touchdowns for Dontavian Wicks, a touchdown for Christian Watson, a touchdown for Romeo Doubs in the win. And I have a couple of takeaways that I didn't get to on the quick reaction pod I uploaded on Friday in the Mr. Relevant feed. And if you're not already, make sure you subscribe, Mr. Relevant, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, the ESPN Wisconsin app. I threw like a 12-minute reaction in there on Friday. And I talked just strictly about 3 players. I talked about Love, I talked about Wicks, and I talked about Micah Parsons, who's truly unbelievable. But something that I have kicked around for a few days now, Joshy, and I think this is going to be your, oh God, here we go again moment with me.
Oh,
I'm all the way back in on all the receivers. You know, the thing that we've done off and on for 3 years, where it's like, okay, Packers got all these guys. They're really deep. That's a good thing. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We really need somebody to step up for them. The Packers really need somebody to step up and become that true number one. And then we go, oh, wait a minute. They don't have anybody. And then we go, oh, wait, they drafted Matthew Golden. Woo, they might have a number one receiver now. Matthew Golden maybe not going to provide as much as we thought in his rookie year. And then it's, Christian Watson looks like a number one receiver, which I'm standing by that. But now it's like, oh, Dontavian Wicks breakout game. Romeo Doubs has been reliable. They're going to get Jaden Reed back. Matthew Golden's going to get back into the mix. Like, they've got all these talented receivers as they gear up for a stretch run here towards the end of the season. I am very high on the Packers wide receiving core right now.
What I don't want us to do is to have an approach that changes much from the one we saw against the Lions. Romeo Doubs is a 3-4 target guy. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Watson.
He had 4 targets, 4 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, perfect usage. Christian Watson as the lead guy should probably be the case. He didn't have the most catches or receptions, but he was targeted the most in the game.
10 targets, 4 catches.
And then, obviously, Dontavian Wicks, who I've been, I don't know, the last of the Mohicans when it comes to defending and supporting.
It's you and Jason Wilder.
Yeah.
It's you two.
And I don't think he's not going to have those games every single game, but what he is useful in is he's very good at beating man coverage, and that's what we saw the Lions do, and that's what the Lions like to play. So in that situation, he was particularly useful, and I do think he has the talent to be a number two for a lot of teams. I think Christian Watson is still probably the engine that needs to make everything go. How that all changes when Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden are playing, I'm totally unaware. I know for a fact I want Christian Watson in that spot regardless,
yep.
As the one guy. And then the Wicks thing, it's probably a, when we need you scenario. Because Jayden Reed, as we know, is very bad against man coverage. Dontayvion Wick's very good at it. Christian Watson is sort of coverage agnostic, where it doesn't really matter all that much because he's so big and fast, he can win in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And then Romeo Doubs should be a red zone target and on occasional third down. And I think that's probably how the offense functions the best. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more in on Jordan Love than, say, any of the receivers, as high as I am on Christian Watson. I think he's blossomed him in front of our eyes into like a real wide receiver. I don't think he's Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson.
No,
or,
but he looks bigger, he looks stronger, he looks faster than even pre-ACL tear.
He can function in a role as the lead guy. And I think an offense run through Christian Watson can do plenty well as long as the talent surrounding him is good enough, which I think it is once you end up in a spot where you're talking Reed, Wicks, Golden, and Doubs. Then you feel good about that depth. The biggest problem we always had, though, was who's the lead guy? No one takes over. It's kind of a whack-a-mole. Sometimes it never happens. Sometimes you end up sort of giving one guy way too many targets, and you think, well, what the hell happened to Jayden Reed? Where's Christian Watson? He could use one of those plays. So, I mean, I feel good about them, and I think it's largely in part because we've seen the development that we've been waiting for so long. Mm-hmm. Wicks is a one-time thing. I think we've seen enough from Christian to know he's different.
Wicks a one-time thing this year.
Correct.
It's his third, which is a fun stat. I think you sent this to me. It's his third 2-touchdown game of his career.
Yeah.
He's now done it against the Vikings, the Bears, and now the Lions. He's done it against every divisional opponent to make up his 3 times, which is just kind of an interesting stat. But I do believe he's capable. I mean, like you've been banging the drum for, no pun intended, for it seems years with Wicks. Uh-huh. He does have the capacity to be a successful NFL wide receiver.
And it's not all Matt LaFleur in the play calling. He couldn't catch the ball for half a season last year.
Right.
And maybe even a little bit longer. He did come on towards the end of the year. But now that the drops thing is figured out, he's had a couple, but that happens with wide receivers. It just is what it is. But him being any sort of reliable factor and an option for teams to use, and a lot of what we've seen from him this year isn't really his own fault. He's been injured. He's been unhealthy. Matt LaFleur said as much. Like, this is really the first time we've gotten full Dontayvion Wick since early in the season, which I think is a large factor to why his emergence has been delayed in this way. But I feel good about a Matt LaFleur offense that uses Jordan Love as the main driving factor.
Okay. I like it.
I think the aforementioned Eagles game, if you do the same exact game plan, what do we think the result is?
W.
Probably Packers win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Panthers game probably has similar results.
Yep.
I don't know if it's simply we know Dan Campbell is going to go for fourth down wherever it makes sense, and they're going to get every last piece, so we have to be more aggressive, or if it just took this long for Matt LaFleur to realize, hey, you've got an MVP candidate under center, you should probably use him as much as humanly possible.
Sure. I want to do a rapid fire because it's been a couple of days, and typically we do this day after game, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I want to do kind of a rapid fire stock up, stock down. But rather than a traditional we each make our own picks, I'm going to throw things out at you, and I want you to determine stock up, stock down, and I'll even give you one stock neutral to throw in there since you're not determining what I throw at you. That work?
Okay.
So stock up, stock down, you get one stock neutral to use the entire time, which I think might be right now. The first name I'm throwing at you is Matt LaFleur.
I think for me, for somebody who had him so lowly and gave him stock down for what, like 6 consecutive weeks?
That might be an understatement.
I think I have to say stock up.
So is the faith at least a little bit restored for you with the Packers head coach?
It's restored, but I'm waiting for him to betray me again.
Okay.
That's fair.
I think it's fair,
yeah,
too. I mean, granted, I think you've been too hard on him the entire season.
Sure.
But that's the tune I've held this whole season. I think you've been relatively negative.
We also have seen, though, the one time they do the things I asked them to, the results.
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've fully agreed with you the whole time in terms of, hey, put the ball in Jordan Love's hands a little bit more. And maybe there was some truth to Okay, he's dealing with the shoulder injury the last couple weeks. I don't know, but he looked fine on Thursday on a short week.
Sure did.
If he does it a third time, I think you can be back in on him, Josh.
Hawkins chimes in. Stock is up, but he's not investing.
Correct.
Yeah.
We're monitoring.
Yeah. Monitoring. The Packers run defense.
That's a neutral to me. I think it's a downgrade with the result of Devontae Wyatt's injury. I certainly think they are capable of not letting the Bears do what they did to the Eagles.
Right. Because Swift and Menengai, did I say that right?
Each ran for 100 yards. Yeah,
Menengai. Yeah, but before the end of the third quarter, I think that happened.
Yeah.
They have 280 yards rushing?
Yeah, the Eagles average giving up 160, and the Bears had like 140 like halfway through the second quarter, I think.
Yeah, I think the Packers linebackers can help a lot in that. I think they have enough talent there, especially if Quay comes back.
Yep.
If you can just get a few stops in the run game, you're fine. I don't think the Bears passing game is that scary to me, and I believe in Micah to disrupt things enough for it to be. But you can. There is a potential if you go out there with the same game plan you had against Carolina, and you want to get into a we're going to play double keep away. We're going to keep the ball away from you. Who's trying to keep the ball away from us? Then you could get yourself into a pretty ugly scenario where even if the Bears don't have scoring drives, long sustained drives, drives that take 4 or 5 minutes, go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays, that's where you get yourself in a bad spot.
It's going to be a linebacker game regardless because the Bears like to throw those little out routes to the tight ends too. So it's really dependent on how the Packers linebackers play to stop the Bears defense.
As long as Quay comes back, I feel pretty darn good about that.
It's going to be a big linebacker game.
Yeah,
big
Edger and Cooper shined against Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right. Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs was held to a pretty calm day. 20 carries, 68 yards.
And my guy Isaiah McDuffie, he had another pretty good game.
Yeah, I think 12 tackles, which is a game high for him.
Yeah, the Bears' desired attack plays exactly into what Isaiah McDuffie wants to do as a linebacker.
I just want to give you the opportunity to talk about this man. So I'm just going to throw out his name. I know the stock's up. Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, he simply, no matter who he's facing, no matter the level of all pro, no matter the level of accolades the guy comes in with, he's going to win a lot. He wins over the middle. He wins on both sides. I think single-handedly is probably responsible for 2 wins, maybe even more, with the way he's been able to affect games single-handedly. And it's not always him getting to the quarterback. He's now at 12.5 sacks, which feels like eons since I've seen a Packers player with 12.5 sacks. But the way teams have to approach on offense where he is at all times really changes and really a tactical advantage for the Packers as a whole. Even if he's not getting home, they're committing so many resources to him not getting home that you have the numbers on defense in a way that we're not used to.
Right. I mean, I think Za'Darius Smith, probably the last Packer with 12.5 sacks in a season. They have not played a game in December yet, and he's at 12.5 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of bizarre a world what he's capable of. And we knew what we were getting as Packers fans, right? When they made that big-time
trade. Yeah, and somehow we're going to get what's likely and looks to be his best career season. Yeah. Which lines up, 26-year-old reaching his prime, figuring the game out.
That's why you pay him the money you paid him on top of trading the assets you traded for him.
He's 26, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit mind-melting just how good he is. And I mentioned the mini pod I did on Friday. I posted just a quick clip of that on social media, reacting to Micah. And the comment I got the most was, because I said something to the effect of every time you looked up and the Lions were trying to do something, Micah Parsons would be in the backfield, even if he wasn't recording, one of his 2.5 sacks. And when you looked up and he wasn't in the backfield, he's being triple teamed or held. Then it never gets called on him. Someday maybe it will. But it never gets called on Micah.
No,
he's playing a different sport than other defensive ends.
It's the same thing that we watch with Giannis. Players like that don't get the calls because they're so strong and because they play through it despite them.
They're playing a different set of rules.
Yes.
Which I'm not complaining because he's still been efficient.
Remarkably so.
Yeah.
He's constantly winning. He's constantly getting pressures. He's constantly affecting the games if it's a sack. I mean, the sacks he had against Goff, like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Like it was just, he was there.
He's remarkable. He's remarkable. And I don't really remember seeing a Packer like this, at least in my lifetime. I was around for Reggie.
As I say, Reggie was the only thing I could compare.
It's the only comparison. But I never watched Reggie live, so it's unlike anything I've seen. It's amazing. All right, a couple more for you. Let's go just wide receiver room in general, stock up?
Yeah, I think so. I think as they continue to get healthy and as you continue to make them a focal point, I don't have a problem with them not being as big of a focal point when you have Tucker Kraft because I think he's just that good. Mm. I think he's going to be, once he returns, the best tight end when it comes to pure tight end. Like, Brock Bowers is Brock Bowers. He's going to do his own thing. Trey McBride is a little like that. But when it comes to, like, playing the definition and the way the good Lord intended a tight end, he's the best at it.
The good Lord.
Uh-huh.
Sound like Lane Kiffin over there.
Yep, me and Lane.
If we have time at the end, I'm just going to give you a quick update on my ham because we've got multiple comments from that at the end. And then I'll give you if we have time, I want to get to Lane Kiffin because I'm just so unbelievably fascinated by that situation. I mentioned that to Josh this morning, Will. I walked in. I said, are you as fascinated about this Lane Kiffin thing as I am? And your answer, Josh?
Was no, he's a bad guy. He's doing what bad guys do.
And I said, okay, fair enough.
It's a weird situation.
I haven't talked to anybody about it yet because, like, I was thinking about last night explaining it to my girlfriend. Like, I had a friend named Lane and, you know, girlfriends and cheating. But I didn't do it.
Despite all the efforts to rehab his image, at the end of the day, the same guy...
He continues to kill it.
The same guy we've known for the past 20 years emerges and shows his ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. All right, that does it for a rapid-fire version of Stock Up, Stock Down after Packers-Lions. Rent-free, Will. Rent-free.
You forgot the biggest stock up of the game. What is this? Rashid Walker recovering that fumble in the
red
zone.
True. Yeah, that's true. They got a couple nice breaks in that game. That being one of them. The timeout, I mean. Can we talk about that?
That was absurd.
You could see it in the background. Yeah. He didn't get it in.
Yeah. And
it was close because they showed it in slow-mo in the replay.
I've never seen the full video of it. Matt LaFleur was down there, and I don't know if he was trying to call timeout, then stopped, then tried to call it again.
I don't know.
Because he's usually not down there and walking towards the official. So there was at least a piece there. I don't know what happened, but I mean, they made it up. They sustained one drive and killed one drive for the Packers.
True.
So the two calls that were missed, or you could say incorrect, I still think Wicks caught it. I think the ball can move, and they've told us that a million times.
Yeah.
As long as you maintain control. I don't think he ever lost control. The ball did move.
The most encouraging stat from that game for me, just real quick as we move on, because I want to get to the NFC playoff picture real quick, is 3-for-3 on fourth down for the Packers, 0-for-2 for Detroit. Yes. A team that is known for going for it and converting on fourth down.
I will just note how the Packers got those fourth downs.
Well, two of them were touchdowns. Uh-huh. One of them was the Dontavian Wicks review, I assume you're referring to.
Uh-huh.
And then what was the third one? Why am I blanking out? Oh, it was the Dontavian Wicks shoeless catch.
Yes. I'm pointing out passing the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, all three.
I love how Matt LaFleur, when he plays like a coach that's known for something, he just tries to shove it down his own throat. Like Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down. When he played the Eagles, he did the tush push like twice in the first quarter.
I
don't know what that tells you about him. But
I'll say, though, I think there was a 3rd and 3 where Josh Jacobs broke off that big, I think it was like 19-yard run.
Uh-huh.
So I actually said it loud. I was at my grandpa's house. I said, oh, they're going to run it on 3rd and 3, and it's going to be 4th and 2.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest holes I've seen for Josh Jacobs and the most space I've seen him have all year.
Offensive line upgrade?
It seems like the combination of, even though if you look at the grades, Belton got a pretty bad grade and gave up, like, I think 6 pressures, but he's in there for the run game.
Yeah.
I think that, it has more to do that the defense knows that they might not run every single play. That opens up the running game a little bit more, even.
Oh, you mean going from a team that
like
was
actually
running it
mixing
so much?
It up? Yeah. Yes. Like,
yes.
It's
thing,
like a pitcher throwing a fastball every pitch. Right. You know what's coming.
Right. The thing I was saying, like, at some point, everyone just knows we're running, so stop doing that.
Right. Josh loves a good victory line.
Yes.
Have you noticed that today?
Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, like I said, we should have a like I said counter. I bet we're in double digits for Josh.
I previously stated.
Right. No other team.
They finally listened to Mr. Relevant and heard what I was saying.
If they did what I was saying all season,
I mean, the Packers ran the ball at, they had the top five in the most carries and were bottom quarter in the league in yards per carry, overall yardage.
And it was inverse for passing. bottom quarter and top whatever it was, top six.
You don't even have to like do any deep dive analytics. You just look at it and go, huh, we're not very good at this, but we keep doing it a lot.
That's true. Okay, NFC playoff race is fascinating. It really is. As we've mentioned at the top of the show, Will, I will let you do the honors. The number one seed in the NFC as it stands right now.
The Chicago Bears.
Who are 9-3. The Rams are the two seed, also 9-3.
I want to say something. To me, the Rams are still clearly the best team in football.
I agree.
It took some weird happenings in the game for the Panthers to even be in it.
Carolina, though, man. They're sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young, he is the most Jekyll and Hyde quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
He puts up these insane, gaudy passing numbers.
Yeah, people compared Love to Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah, no. That's unfair in comparison to Bryce Young.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a guy who is J.J. McCarthy level, and then he also looks like the best quarterback on the field while playing an MVP.
Yep.
So I don't know what to do with that.
I don't either.
It's probably not a good way to sustain wins and be successful long term, but
he's still a young quarterback, but it's also year three as a starter for him, same as Love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Caleb was the first pick last year. One more year? I mean, obviously.
You just play out his contract and figure it out.
Yeah.
He's done enough, but he's not been great.
But if he's 80% the good quarterback and 20% the bad quarterback next year, they're going to pay him.
You just let Canales decide.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he's been good. Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say he's a good looking coach. He's been doing a good coaching job.
He is a good looking coach. In fact, I would argue he might be the best looking coach in the NFL. Anyway, 2 seed is the Rams at 9-3. They lose to the Panthers yesterday. 3 seed is the Eagles at 8-4. Obviously, they lost to the Bears on Friday. Buccaneers are the NFC South leading team at 7-5. Panthers are 7-6. They are outside looking in, but the NFC South is still very much up in the air. Okay, wild cards as it stands. Seahawks, the 5 seed, 9-3. Packers, the 6 seed, 8-3-1. Niners, the 7 seed, 9-4. And then outside looking in right now, Lions 7-5, Cowboys 6-5-1, Panthers 7-6. That's pretty much the cutoff right there. Because then you get to 4-win teams, and it's very unlikely for all of them. Though not mathematically eliminated quite yet. So that said, I have no idea how the hell this is going to end out. I would imagine NFC West has 3 teams. Yes, do we all agree with that? I think it's Seahawks, Niners, and Rams, and all 3 of them make the playoffs.
I mean, aren't all 3 of those teams at least 9 wins?
Yes. 9-3, 9-3, 9-4.
Yeah. At some point, you just have too many wins.
Right.
You've become undeniable.
And I think that's likely the case here. And then Green Bay or Chicago likely is that other wildcard team. So your top 7's pretty much decided, which means no Lions, no Cowboys. Unless the Eagles continue to fall. I guess the Cowboys are technically still alive at 6-5-1, and the Eagles at 8-4. A lot needs to change in the next couple of weeks. Eagles need to continue to lose. Cowboys need to continue to win, which they obviously did over the Chiefs on Thanksgiving with a nice Post Malone halftime show stuck in the middle there. But Joshy loved that.
Got to be honest, I didn't know that happened.
Okay. My mom loves Post Malone.
Huh.
I know.
Interesting.
I think it's because he released a country album. So she was very excited when Post Malone
came. I've not gotten my mom's opinion on Post Malone.
What's your mom's opinion on Shaboozy?
As with every other suburban mom, loves it.
Yeah.
Shaboozy is the new Bruno Mars for
And Bruno Mars was the new Chris Daughtry, right? Like,
oh, I don't know about Chris Daughtry.
Okay. What else we got? Okay, so NFC playoff picture. I think the 7 teams that are represented outside of maybe the Panthers over the Buccaneers are your 7. Bears, Rams, Eagles, Seahawks, Packers, Niners are your 6, and then it's either Buccaneers or Panthers. I think those are your 7 of your 8.
So we're taking Lions are completely out. Does the Lions still play the Bears again? The Bears would have to completely fall apart.
I have a hard time believing that's going to happen, to be real honest with you. And obviously they have two games against the Packers, which I think the Packers can win both. So that'd be two more losses. If they play the Lions again, that's a sixth loss.
Then they play the Browns and the 49ers.
So the Niners get a win. That becomes your seventh loss. 10-7, you're not in. So maybe not, I guess. I didn't realize how difficult the Bears' schedule was down the stretch. But you have to imagine the way they've won close games this year. They're not going to lose all, was that four of the last five?
I hope not.
I would also hope not. Yeah, this is a tough puzzle to figure out, despite not being all that tough.
Good thing you like puzzles.
I do like puzzles.
A puzzle happened in my house last night.
Carolina or Tampa in the South, Joshy? Who do you think wins that division?
Probably Tampa. Even though I think they suck.
Yeah, they're not as good as they
were. Baker Mayfield, by the way, is so lucky that the NFC South is irrelevant because he's been bad prior to the injury. He was just good for a couple games to start the season.
It's worth noting. Week 16 and 18, it's Panthers-Bucks.
Yeah, they probably split those. Yeah.
So then it probably goes. Because
I don't think there's that much difference between the two.
Yeah. Okay, there you have it. All right, we got to get to Wheels Week. We got to get to what we missed. I believe I was just compared to Paul Allen in the group or in the YouTube chat by somebody. Bear Nut, 1978. Bear Will, Nut, 1978.
Is
that your burner?
I don't have any burners. I don't need any anymore. I'm not hiding.
More smugness from Strofe. Paul Allen was smug a couple of weeks ago, too. The Vikings stink. The Packers clearly do not.
Well, I'll just say, this week, you need to do all you can to catch everything he says.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm going to put him on blast.
Yeah.
Or I try to.
And then
Bears fans already are trying.
Here's the thing, too. Bears players are very active on Twitter, so I want them to see the motivation. I want them to be have...
Okay, so...
They all, like... So, Caleb Williams, like, after he wins, will start retweeting, like, random burner accounts.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. So... Because I quote tweeted it. I got a sniff of it when somebody found my Twitter username and tweeted me in it. I've been called the smug ass a lot in the last 24 hours because there was a video from June where I was talking about it was when Caleb Williams was at that music festival and he was yelling F Green Bay.
Isn't it Lollapalooza?
No, I don't think it was Lollapalooza. I think it was a different music festival.
It might have been Summer Smash.
It was Summer Smash. You absolutely got it, because I said in the video, much inferior to Summerfest. Which is how you should, and I don't have any hair in the video. I have a buzz cut. But anyway, so this
what
is
a weird detail. That
well, I think a lot of people, that watched it thought I said this yesterday, and it's like none of this makes sense in context. But anyway, so it's been circulating. Bears fans keep receipts, man. I'm impressed, truly.
I told you we have a lot of hate in our heart.
Yeah, you're not kidding when you say that.
We've been fighting the losing fight for a while now. So, to have any sort of success.
Yeah, I hear you.
Seeing the light. It's fun.
I hear you. All right. Every Monday, Will Summers recaps the weekend that was by doing his best Chris Berman impression. This is Will Summers Weekend in Review.
All right. Let's start on Thanksgiving, chronological order, where the Packers took on the Lions in Detroit. Up 3-0 early in the second quarter, Jordan Love was living on a prayer as he found Dontayvie Bon Jovi Wicks for a 22-yard touchdown to put the Packers ahead 10-0. After a Lions touchdown drive, Jordan Love decided to give Romeo Steve Jobs some FaceTime on a 2-yard touchdown pass to put the Packers back ahead by 10, 17-7. Right before the half, Jared Goff looked like the Lakers G League team the way he found James Sun for a 22-yard touchdown pass to bring the Lions to within 3. Did you get that one, Strofe?
Jameson.
Well, LeBron Jameson.
Oh, sure.
G League team.
Yeah, got it.
Sorry. I knew I'd have to explain that one to you. Early in the third quarter, Jordan Love found Christian Turkey Trotson for a 51-yard touchdown.
That's so good.
To give the Packers back their 10-point lead, but the Lions would not go away as they cyber-trucked their way down the field, leading to an Isaac Tesla 17-yard touchdown pass.
That's good.
Looking to put the game away, Jordan Love remembered the Packers were playing a divisional game, not the Bills, and dug his Tar Heels in for a fourth touchdown pass of the day to put the Packers up for good as they'd go on to win 31-24 on Thanksgiving over the Lions. We now head to Philadelphia, where the second place Chicago Bears took on the Eagles on Black Friday. Chronological order. This time they're in second place. Late in the first quarter, DeAndre Tokyo Swift was running fast and furiously for a 3-yard touchdown run to put the Bears ahead 7-0 early. After trading field goals and receiving boos, A.J. Brown caught a 33-yard touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts, but Jake Elliott would miss the extra point, giving the Bears a 10-9 lead. With the Eagles about to score late in the third quarter, the Bears decided instead of crying to ban the tush push, let's do something about it, as Nashawn Wright ran around to Jalen Hurts and forced a fumble on the tush push to give the Bears the ball back. Early in the fourth quarter, Kyle waved Manun bye to the Eagles' defense as he ran in a 4-yard touchdown on his way to a 100-yard rushing game. With the Bears in a close one, I was getting deja vu until J. Cole Kmet fixed his crooked smile with a 28-yard touchdown to put the Bears in the driver's seat, not only for this game, and not only for the NFC North, but for the NFC. With your Will's Week in Review, I'm Will Summers.
Well, that would have been a good opportunity to use your Berman. Huh?
Huh? Second place Bears, huh?
All right, that's good. I thought there'd be more Thanksgiving references. I thought you would personalize it up a little bit.
Turkey trotsin'.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I liked that one.
See, I don't go the easy way out. Josh likes that.
He really stretches.
Well, I thought maybe you would add in like your Thanksgiving to the highlights of the weekend.
Oh.
Is more what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean.
Any highlights?
No, not really.
DTM do anything fun?
Yeah,
he threw his back out, actually.
Oh, no!
So he had a horrible weekend.
Oh, no. How did he throw his back out?
He was putting up Christmas lights. I think it was the day the Bears played, too. And he just went down to reach for the lights and then came inside and he was like, could barely move. And he's like, I threw my back out.
This was prior to the Bears game?
Yes. And before he even sat down, he told my sister, he's like, put your shoes on, let's go. And he was like telling her what to do to put the lights up.
Oh, and it wasn't you.
How did you not get assigned?
Yeah, how was this not yours?
I actually did a lot of things around the house, so I think someone else was getting called into action.
Got it.
Time to pick up the slack.
Yeah, I was cleaning up garbage because we hosted the Thanksgiving and everything. So. Yeah.
Way to be helpful.
I was doing my part.
Good job, Will.
Yeah.
They must be so proud of you.
Yeah, they are.
That was too quick.
Yeah, it was too quick.
They tell me all the time.
Are you the favorite child?
Yes.
Like, without doubt?
Yeah. Just because I don't...
That's rare as the oldest, though.
Yeah.
Because your siblings are younger than you.
Yeah. But they just give my mom more problems.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah. Very.
Remember we taught you how to cook chicken in the oven like 2 months ago.
You're my grandma actually gave me baking sheets as a joke for my birthday present yesterday.
That's funny.
Yeah. Because she was watching and saw that I am having trouble
cooking.
We
really are a family show.
Yeah.
We say that as a joke.
Now I'm really questioning things, though, knowing Will's grandma's listening.
Hope she's doing well. All right, time now for What We Missed. It is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted. Award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. Gin and tonic Saturday. Cherry brandy with the old fashions on Thursday. Door County Distillery is everywhere this weekend, and I was loving it. You should, too, if you are in the state of Wisconsin. Door County Distillery is located wherever you are, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, all the in-betweens. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest you and elevate whatever you've got going on this holiday season with Door County Distillery's wide array of whiskeys, rums, brandies, gins, vodkas, and more. Visit their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com, for more information. Okay. We'll start with the ham. Simply put, it was very good. I crushed it. I made a honey ham with a little bit of OJ in the mixture. Everybody was freaking out that orange juice was a part of this. I used, Josh, I don't think I ever said how little of orange juice I needed to use. I used 2 tablespoons.
Oh, jeez.
So there was like barely any orange juice involved.
Yeah, that's...
But everybody wanted to run rampant with the idea that there was orange juice involved.
It's because, speaking for myself, I don't know what Kyle was thinking. We made multiple hams over the past 10 days or so.
Yeah.
And it's a pool of pineapple juice that we're using. And we're basting throughout the cook.
So I was basting too, but it's more honey than it is juice. Because I want more honey ham, right?
Uh-huh.
So it was just, it was some honey, a little bit of, and then I put a little bit of orange juice and water on the bottom, like for the base. So I guess it was more than 2 tablespoons. But in the actual honey part, it was only 2 tablespoons. And then that was with cinnamon and some brown sugar. And it was delicious.
Yeah, I mean... It's pretty hard to screw up
a
spiral ham.
Yes.
It's already been cooked.
Yeah.
You're doing the heating, the glazing, the flavor icing.
Now, spiral hams are pre-cut, right?
Yes.
Mine was not pre-cut. So I had to cut the ham. Now, that's where the disaster came in. That's harder than it looks, folks. I had my grandpa's meat fork. It was bending. Yep. The tongs were bending. I had to bend them back. I mean, that was a disaster, but it turned out good.
You
everybody
just
got to
find
it.
The bone and work down.
Yeah, the issue is I couldn't find the bone.
Yeah, well, that'll do you.
Yeah, so it was good, though.
Because generally, the ham you're cooking is positioned in a way where the bone's up.
Right.
And you could see
it.
Well,
no, it. I take it back. I did find it. But then I was cutting these giant pieces of ham.
Yeah, you just slice them up.
And that's what I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up working out in the long run. But I was cutting it stupidly in the metal sheet that I bought. I cut right through it. And so ham juices are starting to go everywhere.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, I had to move it to a big-ass cutting board. I mean, it was good. But the ham was very good. The process of getting ham from oven to plate was not very good. That's where the disaster came in. Okay, we've got a few minutes. I just want to discuss this Lane Kiffin to LSU thing. Because it obviously completely controlled the sports weekend if you were watching anything except the NFL. Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl on Saturday. Kiffin initially has a team meeting with Ole Miss scheduled for, I think it was 10 a.m. Eastern Sunday. It gets pushed back. He's not even allowed in the building. He's not the one that delivers the message because he's getting on a plane to fly to Baton Rouge. Long and short, Ole Miss is going to go to the playoff. Lane Kiffin's not going to be head coach. He's going to an SEC rival. They don't want him in the building so he can poach talent, poach coaches, etc. So they're not allowing him to coach any further. We knew he accepted this job prior to the Egg Bowl, I would assume, right? Because the rumors were already swirling for like a week at that point.
I believe he accepted the job from some of the stuff I've been reading and hearing. Not this past Friday, the previous one. That there was already a deal agreed to, and we were just... Lane was trying to figure out a way to get himself fired to then make himself more money.
I think he also wanted to coach the team. Like, that was why the negotiations took for a while.
Yes. That was never going
to
happen.
I think he quote-unquote wanted. I don't really think he cares about coaching the team.
You know why he wanted to coach?
He just wanted to look like a good guy.
No, I could tell you. He's done a good job of positioning it that way. His contract has bonuses for appearing in the playoff and advancing to...
So that news got updated today. LSU will pay him for whatever Ole Miss does in the postseason.
Yes.
So good on him.
That's why he wanted...
Good on his agent.
That's why he wanted to keep... He doesn't give a damn about those kids.
Yeah. Except the ones he's going to recruit to LSU.
Correct. Yeah. Of course, the ones he's going to poach that are going to then benefit him in his new position.
His new cushy position, yes. Making about $90 million. Prior to any bonuses at LSU. A couple of things from this story that tickled me incorrectly. Okay? I'm never knocking religion. That's not what I'm doing here. Okay? But the...
Thank you for making that clear.
Well, I want to make it very clear. I'm not knocking the fact that he's a Christian and he prayed to God. I understand all that. That's great. But I watched a one-on-one interview he did with Marty Smith from the airport.
Uh-huh.
In Mississippi before he flew to Baton Rouge. And he referenced praying to God, and God told him probably a dozen times in the 5 minutes. And, okay.
It's an elaborate cover to say, I took this job because there's more money.
I'm getting paid significantly more.
Yeah.
And the timing stinks by all means, and maybe that's a different conversation. Because if you're leading a team that's going to the college football playoff, you probably shouldn't even have the ability to negotiate for a new job yet. Nor should rival teams in your conference be reaching out to you. But yeah, you're getting paid $90 million. It's likely the right decision, but the timing sucks in all of it. But is anybody surprised? No, it's Lane Kiffin. He's done this before. He did it to Tennessee. He's done, you know, like he's done this before.
Yeah, he is who he is, and he is what he'll always be. He's not changed. He didn't rehab his image. He's
right.
A petulant child. He's immature. He leaves every place burning after him. The way things have gone for Lane throughout his career of us knowing who he is, I'll show you what type of person he is. Hell of a play caller, a person, a husband, a father. I don't know what he is like that. but he is not a trustworthy guy if you want him to run your program.
In the professional space. Okay, the other part of this that really bothered me was something I did not know until I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. When one Josh DiMaggio, mm-hmm. and I have researched this extensively since you brought it up this morning.
Allegedly.
Is it alleged? It's on all the messages. Yeah, I guess it's alleged. Okay, so Lane Kiffin often walked around with a dog by the name of Juice. Juice Kiffin. Allegedly, Joshy left the dog in Mississippi, and the dog never lived with him.
Yes.
He brought it around for a photo op and to look good.
It was an elaborate public relations
stunt, if
yes,
you will.
To make him seem like not a vapid, money-hungry loser of a narcissist.
So there you have it. Lane Kiffin is the new head
allegedly.
Coach of the LSU Tigers. Allegedly. All right, that will do it for us today on this Monday edition of Mr. Irrelevant. We will be back with you on Wednesday. Which will begin at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Will, pretty good job today, man. We kept it, for both of us, I think we kept it pretty calm.
Yeah. It's not going to stay that way.
We will figure out our game bet Wednesday.
Okay.
We will land on our final terms Wednesday.
I'm ready.
You and me, 1v1, straight up, who's going to win the game bet?
Yeah.
With punishments involved.
Spit bet.
I can tell you right
now,
Will.
That's one of the worst ideas.
It will not be a spit bet.
Anything but that.
Josh,
what would that even be? The loser
Josh,
just
I will
gets
give
the
you
space
credit.
Spit in?
Yeah. You can spit on the loser.
My thought for the show this week was that Josh was going to do his best to not really middle. He'll still be a Packers fan and still analyze the Packers as he always does. But he's going to do whatever he can to push our buttons because he sits right in between us. And I think he's one for one so far with three shows this week. So good job, Joshy. We'll be back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central. We will talk to you then. Peace.